Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We got some of the most amazing men in the church here, young men, older men. Some are dads, some aren't, but I have on the platform four great dads who are going to help me in a few moments as we talk about what it means that God is our Father. Saw some kids get snatched from disaster. That's what God our Father has done in every one of our lives. He snatched our lives from the things that could have destroyed us. And He's making us new, and He's our Father. We love that. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. It says, "There you saw," this is Moses writing, "there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place." This would be Moses speaking to Israel after they had been delivered out of slavery in Egypt. And that story of, you remember it, the parting of the Red Sea, Charlton Heston, all of that stuff. And we call it the Exodus because they were exiting Israel. And this is early in the Bible's history. But it's really the first time in the first few books of the Bible that God begins revealing himself as a father. And he said, "When I took you out of your captivity and your slavery and brought you to freedom," he said, "I was like a father who carries his son all the way. I snatched you, I rescued you," just like we saw in the video. And that rescuing of Israel out of Egypt became the picture of what Jesus came to do for us when he rescues us from our sin. And it's the same Heavenly Father who says, I want to bring you out and I want to take you to my purposes. And I'm going to carry you as a father carries his son. Psalm 68, verse 5. David describes God as a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. Is God in his holy dwelling. Now you may be here, every one of us had a biological father, but you may have had an absent father. So you may have grown up basically fatherless in every functional way. Or perhaps you had a dad there, but he was abusive or emotionally absent or whatever. You didn't truly have a father in the best sense of the word. And that's probably the story of perhaps many here today. But God, our Father, is the Father to the human fatherless. He's a Father to the fatherless. So if you're here feeling like this is a pretty tough day for you, because how can you be grateful for a dad that really wasn't a dad to you the way he ought to have been? I want you to know that the Heavenly Father we're talking about this morning is a Father to the fatherless. Then that great Psalm 103, David says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." So you can be sure that he feels your pain. You can be sure you don't have an indifferent, distant God. You have a God that feels, that is, I love the word in English, compassion. It's the word passion, and then the prefix com would mean with. So he's with passion. He's with your passion. He identifies with everything you're struggling with. He feels your pain in the best sense of the word. And this is what a good father ought to do for his kids. "And as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And then Jesus picks up on all of this. Like in Matthew chapter 6, which is part of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "This then is how you should pray. Our," what? "Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name." So you come to him as your Father. It doesn't say here our King, and he is our King. It doesn't say here our Lord, he is our Lord. It doesn't say our friend, that he is our friend. But he takes upon this himself this unique role of being our Father. So Jesus, God's Son, said, "Pray to the Father in my name." And a few verses later, in that same chapter, chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus kind of probably had some birds chirping near him as he's outdoors speaking, and he just points at those birds, and he said, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns like we have to do. We go to work, we earn paychecks, we have to save, all this stuff. He said, they don't do that. Why? Because they have a Heavenly Father who cares for them. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And then that amazing question, are you not much more valuable than they are? Speaking to us as human beings. We have a Father to whom we have immense value. What father doesn't love his kids, doesn't love to brag on his kids? So I'm going to show you some kids' pictures as we introduce these wonderful guys that are up. I'm going to have in just a moment, they're going to give you their name. We're going to put all their names on the screen right now, but I'm going to give you their names. And their names on the screen are in the order that they're seated right here. We're going to start with Russ in just a minute. He'll give you his name again, and then he will tell us what he does for work, and then say something about his kids, and we'll have some pictures. So first of all, you all know me and what I do, right? Right here. But here's my two daughters, Meredith and Angela. Meredith on the left is in Europe today. Angela on the right is in California right now, actually. And they are 28 and 30. They're a lot older than all of the kids you're going to see next. So, Russ.
I'm Russ Hurst, a product of Central Assembly. Grew up here. I'm the Deputy VP of International Program at Convoy of Hope, which does the children's feeding, micro-enterprise with women, agriculture, refugee crisis. But before that, I was a pastor missionary. Most important thing that's come out of my life are those two awesome kids right there. That's Jonathan and Jordan, and they're right up in the balcony. Can you give a whoop whoop? Jordan, I know you will. Oh, my
gosh.
There
they are. All right.
Thanks. And that's the biggest pride and joy, my kids up there.
Man, they're good-looking kids. Thank you. David.
I'm David Main, and my wife and I just celebrated 21 years of marriage right over here last week. And I would not be a father without her. So our two kids, Kyle and Emma. Kyle is 15, almost 16, and Emma just turned 13, and they are great.
My name's Joel Sutherland, and my wife and Cindy and I have two kids, Chloe, who just turned 14 this week, and Luke, who is 12. And I'm a respiratory therapist at Cox Health here in Springfield.
I got a kid story I got to tell on Joel. My daughter was really having struggles, and they'd taken her in, I don't know, to emergency in Cox or something. And they were trying to get, I think, an IV in her. And she went through two or three different people. They couldn't find the vein. And, you know, that's pretty traumatic. So they called Joel in.
Joel didn't know who was being called in on at the time. It was a surprise to me, too. So,
this was Meredith, my oldest daughter. And I'm forever grateful, Joel, that you found her vein the first time and saved the day. Way to go.
I was glad, yeah.
I'm George P. Wood. My wife, and similarly, as somebody else said, I would not be a father without my wife, so she's sitting there with my son, Reese. And Reese is the gigantic kid in the picture in the middle, and then my two little tiny daughters, Allie on the left and Sissy on the right, and our philosophy is the bigger the bow, the closer to Jesus. So. So they always wear bows.
Plus,
it makes them look taller so they can get on the rides at Silver Dollar
City. They are, obviously. Yeah, you got it. And your two daughters are adopted, right?
Yes, and my two daughters are adopted. I'm sorry. We have one bio son and then two children via the grace of the state of Missouri. So.
Yeah. So you were foster families, parents to them for a while, and then the adoption was just within the last year, right?
Yeah, we started adoption, actually, in 2013. And then 3 years later, we had actually reunited them with their family. So a little plug for foster parenting. We actually need Christian families who are willing to care for but give back kids. And so we had actually successfully reunited our girls with their family, but then there were some problems that came up again. And so when the girls came back into the system, we took them, and we are not giving them back this time.
That's really great. I'm going to put a question on the screen that I'm going to ask each one of these dads. We're going to start with Russ, although we don't have to go in order. But you're going to be kind of our object lesson. I mean, if God is our Father and all of you are dads, is there a connection? Like, what has being a dad, how's that affected your view as God as our Father. Russ, how's that impacted you?
I would say it's impacted me with both of my kids. You know, you kind of relive how you view life, and shortly after my son was born, even how I read the Bible was different. But there was an epiphany that I had when we were missionaries. We were actually in the Pacific Islands, and took my son to the beach. He was just a toddler. He was very small, and the waves were pretty big, about 3 or 4 feet. And I grew up in the islands as a missionary kid, and I love the ocean, love the waves. So I was out there just having a good time swimming, and I looked back at the shore, and my son wanted to be with me, and he was just trembling and just kind of scared, and he wanted to be with me, but he was afraid of coming into the water because the waves were quite big, and he was afraid, but then he wanted me to call him, and so I was like, Jonathan, I met him kind of halfway, but he stepped out the water, and I took him up in my arms, and we began to play in the waves, and he went from being fearful, you know, on the shore, not even in the water, to, I mean, these waves were 3 to 4 footers, which when you're in the water, they're actually hitting you or above your head. And he was having a blast, and he was just laughing and joyful and wasn't afraid at all. And I will sadly say there was a deep wave that came in a little bit later, and it was quite big, completely wiped us out. And I thought, oh, no, he's going to be so afraid of the water. We popped up out, and he just kind of looked at me and was waiting for my reaction. I was like, wasn't that awesome? You know, you try to fake it real good for your kids. And he was like, yeah! And he just wanted to be in the water the rest of the time. And later, I just had this realization of that his strength and security was in direct proportion of how close he was to me. Same way with my daughter. And I realized that my strength and my security, no matter what circumstance, we've all been there, where you can be just in horrific circumstances, my strength and security was in direct proportion of my proximity and my relationship with the Father. And I can go anywhere and do anything if the Father was with me. And it just changed the way I looked at the Bible, changed the way I looked at my trust in God. And I grew in that.
Yeah, that really is looking at God in a very trusting way. That is awesome. Thanks, Russ. Any of the other guys?
Say again?
Oh, sorry. Oh, David, why don't you go ahead? We'll go to you.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. For me, a lot of the same, you know, when my kids were, the moment they're born, you know, you're there, you're just flooded with all these emotions, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, you have these moments with your kids, but then you're, this realization of who your Heavenly Father is, all that becomes way more real and to a whole nother level. And but for me, one of the stories I have is, you know, I love the outdoors. I love being outside. I love working in the yard, playing golf. For those of you who don't know, there will be bow hunting and fly fishing in heaven. Just letting you know. I just like to be outside. If you've never taken a nap in a tree stand, you've never truly taken a nap. But one of the things I love to do with my kids is when they were young is to take them to Bass Pro. It was just one of those things we just go do, and me and them, and walk around and hang out, look at the animals and everything else. And so one time I took my son, Kyle, and he was maybe 3. I don't even think he was 4 yet. And we're walking through and finally made our way up to the fishing section, and I'm looking at some reels. And as I'm looking at reels, I notice him. He catches eye of a rack of clothes that are hanging right there by the reels. And how many of you know when a little kid sees a rack of clothes, that means it's playtime? And so he makes a beeline for the rack of clothes, and he's all caught up in that. And I'm probably at this point 25 feet away, standing at this rack of reels, but I can see him to my left. I've got a pretty good view of what he's doing, so I haven't lost sight of him. Few minutes pass, and all of a sudden, I can hear his little head. I see it pop out of the clothes, and you hear that voice, Dad. And it wasn't the, hey, Dad, look at me tone. It was the, hey, Dad, where did you go tone? You know as dads, I mean, if you had a sea full of kids and your kid said Dad, you would know it was them. You know, Mom does it even better than us, but us dads can do it too. And so I recognized the tone. And so caught him, and I said, hey, buddy, I'm right here. But he didn't hear me. And so all of a sudden then it's Dad with a little louder volume. And so now it's serious. He's got my attention. So I set the reel down, kind of face him, and hey, buddy, I'm right here. He still doesn't hear me. And so now it goes to another level. Now we've got tears, and he's coming out of these clothes. Dad, where are you at? You know, that kind of thing. And so now I'm making my way toward him, at the same time saying, buddy, I'm right here. And he still hasn't seen me. He's kind of looking out. I'm coming from his side. And so he hasn't made eye contact with me yet. And so by the time I get to him, I'm still saying, Dad, or Kyle, I'm right here. He can't hear because he's yelling Dad so loud. And so by the time I get to him, I mean, it's full-fledged snot, tears. It's the whole thing. And he just, where are you? And at that point, I don't say anything. Excuse me. I just reach down and grab him that moment. And I just pick him up, and I pull him right straight to me. And I say, buddy, I'm right here. And I mean, he just wraps me around the neck, and I just hug him. And so we're just having this moment. And he immediately puts his head on my shoulder. And then all of a sudden, he just pulls back. And with all through all these, Dad, don't ever leave me. I said, oh, buddy, I won't ever leave you. And in that moment, in the middle of Bass Pro, everything else just goes away. And all of a sudden, I'm having this moment, this dad moment with my kid. But I also realize I'm having this moment with my Heavenly Father. And he shows up. And I'm just reminded of all of who he is. And I get this greater view of who my Heavenly Father is because through the eyes of my kid now. And if I can love my kid that much, how much more my Heavenly Father loves me. And see, we get this opportunity. He is God because that's who he is. He is Lord. He is the creator of the universe. But the wonderful opportunity for us is we also get to call him Father. And with that, it gets very personal with him. Our God knows us. He knows our name. He knows our voice. He knows when we get lost in the clothes and we can't see, his eye is always on us. And he sees us no matter where we're at. And so it was a beautiful picture for me. And again, one of those God moments where I'm trying to have, you know, a moment with my kid and I get surprised by the Heavenly Father. And it's one of those lessons I'll never forget.
That's awesome. Amazing. That is a wonderful picture of the heart of God for you. Good Bass Pro story too. David actually did a lot of the display materials in the new Wildlife Museum at Bass Pro. Amazing job.
I just want to say that some people go to Bass Pro so they can get equipment for the outdoors. Some of us go to Bass Pro so we don't have to go to the outdoors.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
thanks for speaking for several of us. Seeing you have the floor, how did being a dad affect your view of God as father?
You know, becoming a father biologically and becoming a father through adoption gave me two very different pictures because I vividly remember the day I was at the office. We were pastoring a church in Santa Barbara, and I got a panicked call from my wife. I mean, she could barely get the words out, and we lived at the parsonage, so I literally ran out the office and ran across thinking that my wife was having a medical emergency or since we lived on a major road in Santa Barbara, sometimes homeless people would come by in the middle of the night. I didn't know what was going on. I ran in there. She was out of breath, couldn't hardly articulate her words, and she just said, I'm pregnant! And you know, I mean, if you've had that experience as a woman or as a man, when your wife is telling you, hey, I'm pregnant, you know, I mean, hey, this is a great experience. But what you need to understand is I'm old. And I got married later and I married younger. But, I mean, we didn't have the easiest time conceiving. And it was getting very frustrating. And so if you've ever gone through a season of infertility or whatnot, you know that what is supposed to be a joyous part of marriage can become a very frustrating thing when you're trying to conceive and you can't. And it was just, it was becoming a point of stress. And then all of a sudden I get this call out of the blue. Come home in a panic. I'm pregnant, you know. And it was at that moment I realized that as a dad, to become a father is a sheer gift. Maybe that's, you know, a picture of grace that was something that I wanted, but I couldn't produce necessarily on my own, in my timing, on command, whatever. And all of a sudden, I'm a dad. And of course, now, let's just give a shout out to the moms. Dad's contribution is fairly quick and fun. It's the women who do the hard work. We get that. So, you know, 8.5 months and 19 hours of labor later, the doctor hands me Reese, who's sitting right there, wave your hand, Reese, who was a month early and almost 8 pounds, and he's been a big boy ever since. And I just, the sheer gift character of being given this thing called fatherhood. But that's a very different experience than how I got my girls, because when we initially got the call for the girls, we were at a party at Dave and Becca Mendito's house, and we were just sitting around, got a call from the state of Missouri. Hey, we were foster parents. We had gone through training. We hadn't received our first placement yet. And the state called, and we had told them, because you can specify what's going to be the best fit for your home. We didn't want anybody to be older than Reese. We wanted boys out of diapers. We'd bought bunk beds. We had all of Reese's clothes. We were ready to go. Ring, ring, hello, this is the state of Missouri. We have two girls, ages 19 months and 2 months. Would you be willing to take them as a placement? I'm like, no. I mean, what part of two boys out of diapers do you not understand? So they said, okay, thank you very much, and that was fine. Next day, ring, ring, hello, this is the state of Missouri. We placed the girls last night. That did not work. I'm like, yeah. So we're calling you back. So we were actually in bed. I rolled and looked at my wife and said, oh, they're calling again. She said, well, maybe we should get some more information. It was like God was speaking through my wife. I said, okay, so tell me some more. I said, well, give me a second. So I hung up, talked to my wife, and she said, I think we should do it. Now, you got to realize that this was not, there was no gift character this. This was just a full choice. So I'm like, okay. So I got, I wouldn't say enthusiastically brought into being a father to two young daughters, but I made a choice. And 3 years later, when we adopted them, the choice was very clear because my attorney just asked question after question after question after question, and then the judge interrogated me, and it was like, this is no longer a gift. This is a responsibility. You have to make a decision. And in realizing that, of course, you realize that when God gives us grace, when he gives things to us, he has already made a choice that he's going to welcome you into his family, knowing everything that's happened in your past and knowing everything that's going to happen in your future, and yet he's going to welcome you in as a son or daughter anyway. And so anyway.
You know, Pastor, when you first asked me about this, it wasn't so much a thought or a story that came into my mind, but what immediately came to me was how often there's been things I have said to my kids in, just giving them advice or passing them in the hallway or maybe disciplining them or getting on to them about something, that I'm reminded that the Lord could say those very things to me, which I'll tell you, it takes the fun right out of disciplining your kids when the Lord's telling you, I could be saying that to you right now, you know. But in preparing for this, I thought, well, after supper, I thought, I'll ask my kids to give me some things that I've said to you over the years. And you know how it is with your kids. You can ask them how school was, and they'll say, fine. And you may find out on the news later, the building burned to the ground. But when I ask them, you know, tell me some dad lines, I mean, they couldn't wait to give my lines back to me. And so they asked why I was doing this, and I told them it was for Sunday morning service and that, you know, we were doing the parallels of our relationship and our relationship with God. And one of my comedian kids said, I wrote it down here, how about stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about? I'm pretty sure of two things. The Lord doesn't really say that to us. And our kids heard that at Dave and Becca Mendito's house, not at ours. But I'm just going to read a few things that they did say. And remember, think of these as the Lord saying them to us. I know that you may not understand right now, but this is for your own good. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. I wish you would listen. It would save you a lot of trouble and heartache. I'm so proud of you. I love you. Trust me. And Pastor, this last one, I just couldn't shake all week that this is really for someone here this morning. And it goes along with a lot of what Dave shared. No matter what you've done or where you are, if you will just call me, I'll come to you.
Yes. You just call me, I'll come to you. You were telling me, Joel, about a story of a young lady at work that you encountered who, you know, maybe struggle with aspects of that when it comes to God being our Father.
Yeah, right after Pastor asked me about this Sunday, it wasn't a couple days later, I was at work, and I'm the staff supervisor for respiratory therapy, so I give out the loads for the morning. And I had a lady in the department. I could tell she was very upset with me, and I truly didn't know why. And I tried to approach her, but I could tell she didn't want to talk, so I gave her some space. A little later that morning, she came into my office and said, "I just want to apologize for how I acted. It was wrong. I'm sorry." She's a Christian lady, a sharp lady. I think a lot of her. I've worked with her for close to 20 years. So I asked her to come on in the office and sit down. I said, "You know, I really want to know why you're upset. I really didn't know what I had done." And we've been, like I said, friends for years at work, and she shared with me about her family and about her life, and I was pretty familiar with her upbringing. But she began to pour out her heart that a lot of her frustration, that she had struggled and had a lot of frustrations with me over the years, and she said, "I realize it's because of the relationship I've had with my father." She talked about how they didn't have a good relationship, and he professed to be a Christian, but he did not treat her as a Christian should treat his children. And she said, even earlier, a couple weeks ago, she said, "I became just furious with you, and I didn't know why." And she said, "I realized later, I was praying about it, and I realized that you had just said something that reminded me of something my dad would say, and just in a passing comment, and it triggered just such anger in me." And it just really opened my eyes to how much our relationship with our earthly father can affect that lens we see our God through. And it was just a very eye-opening conversation for me. You hear those things in church, but to have someone come in just voluntarily and just pour that out to you, it was just, like I said, very eye-opening. And it also, at the same time, made me very grateful for the relationship I have with my earthly father and how fortunate and blessed I am to have that. Yeah.
And we so easily project sometimes the experience of our own dads on God. But God's our Heavenly Father. He's awesome. He's everything you guys have been describing Him to be. Russ, just before we start moving towards prayer, what would you say to somebody here who has not yet made God their Heavenly Father and don't have a relationship with Christ yet?
I would say that I think of trying to understand God was always difficult for me. And it was really the father aspect that was able to comprehend, because I actually have a great father. Thank you for the opportunity to tell him that. But at the same time, you know, we have a tendency to treat our, when we're running from God, we treat God like an earthly father, where there's that tension, and we can repel when we should actually embrace. But, you know, I had a great father who was forgiving, and one of the words I wrote in the card for him today is at the very end, "Thank you for your grace." Because when you truly do love a child, the value that they have, there's an abundance of grace for that child. Like when I read the Bible after my kids were born and I saw Abraham with Isaac, I never read that scripture and cried before, but I found myself weeping because I was like, because immediately afterwards he stopped Abraham, but then he said, "But I will do this for you." So it's the Father's love through the sacrifice of Christ, that his overwhelming love for you is deeper than the oceans, higher than the mountains, and there's nothing you can do to escape it. You can run as fast and as far as you can. It's like that poem, The Hound of Heaven, and he's right there, and he's just waiting for you to turn. And I knew about the Lord, and I'd experienced the presence of God. I knew the Word of God. I'd seen miracles, but until you receive that love, until you receive that grace, you will not find peace. But there's so much peace, so much joy, so much love. It was amazing when I finally did crack. It was like I was wrestling with God, and it was kind of like Jacob and Jesus wrestling, but there was that point where I just said, "Bless me." I just saw his goodness, and all of a sudden, it's like I turned from Jacob to Israel. I turned into this completely different person because of his grace, because of his love, because of that power and his ability to forgive. And as he says, our sins go as far as the east is from the west, you know, and true loving parents will move on from the mistakes of their children. And it was in that epiphany that I realized how great the Father's love was towards me.
And I just say the sooner that you do that, the better. And it was amazing how much it changed my relationship with my father. We're very similar, but I was like his alter ego. And then I gave my heart to the Lord. And after, you know, the Father did his work, my Heavenly Father did his work in my heart, I said, Dad, you know, we became like best friends. I said, it's amazing how much you changed after I gave my life to Jesus. True story. And I would just say to those of you that are, maybe have that tension, it's unnecessary. He loves you beyond what you can possibly comprehend. And if you are a parent and have a child, as much as you love that child, the Father's love for you is perfect and just immeasurable.
Really encouraging. Absolutely. I'd like you to bow your heads. You guys, stay up here for a minute.